Oh, yeah. No, not a single. Red coated.
That's pretty good.
Okay, I'm going to close the door. And we can. But I'm a Laker fan.
Oh, that's fun.
I hope my meeting's not getting in the middle of your visiting time.
It might be. You know.
That's my bad sense of humor.
We'll let you know depending on how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you guys resolve anything, let us know because that would be
cool. We should have some of the alcohol that the park was just mentioned.
Did they go throw and let the apology?
That's not the rumor we're passing around.
I wrote a response. Did you see Vanessa's?
Okay, we have opened the meeting. We have opened the meeting. The meeting has been called to order. It's an unruly group. You're in for a real treat today. Everybody get a chance to take a look at the minutes. Any deletions, subtractions, et cetera. Good. I take a motion so we can move quickly along. Thank you. Okay, so moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Yeah, everybody in favor?
Aye.
Good.
Do we have a quorum?
We'll probably get an email about that. Because,
We have one.
One, two, three, four, five.
Yeah, we have five.
Okay. Five of what, eight? Five of nine?
No, not that many. Shane.
There's nine.
Yeah, so we have Shane.
Mark wrote me and Jim wrote me. Mark's daughter chipped her tooth and he had to take it to the dentist.
Is Julie still on this or not?
Moving quickly along. No, yes. Okay. That would make ten. Are you counting, Julie?
I'm counting
only nine. Okay, so we're good. We got five.
Okay.
Otherwise, we have to deputize somebody here.
I'll throw somebody off. No.
Okay, Kelly, you want to say a few words before we get to the fire union presentation?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, today we have two things.
Right.
And the fire union is the first thing. And I wanted to tee this up a little bit only because I want to be very specific and I want everyone to understand sort of everyone's roles in this. In particular, I want you to understand the difference between, in this presentation, the city's role and the fire union's role. So Brent and Nick have met and kind of talked about this a little bit, but I wanted to be very clear with you. This is a fire union proposal. This is not a city proposal.
Excuse me, but when you say proposal, do you mean this page?
No, yes, I mean this presentation.
Thank you.
So, this is, in fact, these are from the city, and we can talk about those when we get to the ambulance. The numbers in this came, what we provided to the union was we provided total cost of PERS for the fire department, total cost of health care for the fire department. I think some of this information came from our budget, but staff, because this was coming from the union, I didn't direct staff to spend any time going over this necessarily, providing feedback, providing our thoughts. We talked a little bit about things, but not much. So, like I said, and this isn't anything Brent and Nick don't know, this is not coming from the city. And so I just want to make that clear to everyone who's listening. So that was all I had to say.
This is the first rollout of this? Is that?
It's the first time that we presented this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, that was it.
Okay.
First time.
Yeah.
First time others have laid eyes on it.
Yes. We've had a group of people within the union help
sure.
us work on
sure.
it.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't think you'd done this all by yourself.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, are we ready to launch then?
Yes.
Any other comments for the good of the order? Floor is yours.
All right. First off, thanks for letting us present this. My name's Brent. I'm the president of the Firefighters Union. This is Nick. He's the vice president. I also have Marshall Razor in the back to kick us in the pants or something if we're not answering the guy's questions correctly. Please let me know if I'm speaking too fast. We had a big fire last night, and so I'm living on caffeine right now. So.
Just stretch it, just stretch before you launch, because we've got one more member walking in here. So if you just, he's going to be in here, and let's give him 3, 2. Hey, he's getting old.
The meeting started at 3:07.
Good afternoon, Shane. We've been waiting for you to get here so we can get started. No, I'm kidding.
Right under the bus.
We did just start, so thank you for showing up.
So as we started preparing for this presentation, we reread the committee's mandate, which states the focus of the cost review ad hoc committee is to investigate programs and operational expenditures, including compensation and benefits, with goals of improving long-term financial sustainability. Having attended all the sessions, it has become apparent that there are no significant changes, or as Councillor Slattery recently said, there are no magical bullets that can be made to improve financial stability, especially those related to the general fund. This begs the question, if there are no viable solutions, then how are others doing it? We assume that there must be dozens of other cities in Oregon that are faced with this issue. Our research shows that there are not, and if no one else is cutting public safety, why are we?
Do you mind if I correct your quote of me?
Can I misquote you?
Well, I said that there are no magical bullets. I don't think that I am yet in the camp that says there aren't any significant changes to be made. So I wouldn't make the two. It's just that they're not going to be magic bullets, which are two different things. No, it's okay. I just thought I'd take advantage of it.
The association routinely looks at similar sized cities when comparing benefit packages during negotiations. We collected data from those cities to see how the general fund was dealing with the ever-increased costs of PERS and health care. After comparing their data to our own, we came to the conclusion that the city of Ashland, in our minds, doesn't necessarily have a spending problem. The city has a problem with its financial structure. I'll explain. Looking at the current population stats for the state of Oregon, we picked 8 cities with populations close to Ashland's, 4 above and 4 below of our population of 20,960. We then analyzed their budgets. Out of the 8, only 2 had both a fire department and parks department within their budget. The remaining 6 had removed either one or both departments. Those 6 had fire departments that were funded as fire districts, not part of the general fund, and 2 of the 6 had parks and fire funded as special districts, effectively removing both departments from the city budget. We are not here to address about whether or not the amount of money given to the parks or the fire department is appropriate or not. What we do want to talk about is the makeup of the general fund, and it appears that a city can no longer support multiple general fund departments. We should follow a similar path as other cities have. So today, on behalf of the union, we are here to present the ideas and concepts, along with the process in which Ashland Fire and Rescue would become its own special district. We believe that becoming a fire district would provide financial stability to the general fund and the fire department, while also meeting the needs of the citizens and firefighters. So kind of a little bit of background. The firefighter union, we have worked with the budget officer during the budget process to help come with ideas to reduce costs and minimal impacts to the residents. The union understands the current financial situation in the city and wanted to work to reduce costs while ensuring we could still provide critical life safety. The union supported the idea of a temporary public safety support fee proposed by the budget officer, but also reducing costs.
Do you want questions while we go through this, or do you want us to wait till the end?
Yeah, because otherwise I'll forget.
Okay.
So do you need questions?
I have one.
Okay.
Brent, what other cost-reducing measures did you bring forward to the budget officer?
We talked about the EMS training that we used to do outside. We brought that in-house.
And did that happen?
Yes.
And what was the savings?
I want to say it was around $40,000 a year.
Right.
Sure. Thank you.
While you're in answer mode, you did a nice job of reading our charge. I was interested somewhere along the way of asking you, what is the mission of the fire union?
The mission of the fire union is to firefighter safety and being able to meet the demands and of the citizens.
The demands of what? I didn't.
The citizens.
The citizens. Not the membership. The citizens.
Right. To make sure we have enough personnel to meet the demand of like how many times 911 gets.
How do you get those demands of the citizen? How do they input to the union? I don't understand that.
Well, basically, we just want to make sure that we can respond to when someone calls 911. That we have enough people to respond.
So that's your definition of the demands of the citizens. Okay.
So in the 2019-21 budget, multiple cuts to the fire department. And this is just kind of give you some background. We lost a deputy fire chief, which was $200,000. We lost, and these are yearly cuts. Cut in material and services of $100,000. And a cut in overtime, which has a huge consequence for us on the, we call it line personnel, but people who can respond to 911 calls. It effectively reduces us right now. We used to have a minimum of 9 firefighters per day, and now we're running at 8. Chief Shepherd has stated that he would like to try to get us back up to 9 by the summer, but at this current time, we are running at 8. So, try to explain this. The way we do a lot of what we call co-staffing at our fire department, and even some other fire departments don't understand how we do it, so I'll try to explain it the best I can. So when we have 9 firefighters on shift, we have two stations, 2 fire engines at both stations are staffed, 2 ambulances are staffed, one at each station, and then if we have 9 firefighters, we have the possibility to run a 3rd out ambulance. We can handle 3 EMS calls at the same time. And then if we have 9, we also have 2 wildland engine responses available. When we reduce it just by 1 firefighter, it's very significant for us. We're down to 1 dedicated fire engine. Station 2 firefighters are cut by 50%. Normally, at 9, we staff them with 4. And when we're at 8, we staff it with 2, which means the Station 2 fire engine is not staffed 42% of the time. And that's because Station 2's ambulance runs 42% of the calls. We have 2 ambulances staffed, no 3rd out ambulance availability, and 2 wildland engine response from Station 2. A perfect example of why 9 is so important is like last night we had that fire. We were out of staffing and obviously we didn't have 2 people on. And it allowed us to send 4 people to a fire while also still maintaining service inside the city. If we were 8, it would have took out our engine and it would have created quite a hard time for us to meet other calls because we ran multiple calls within the city when the 4 of us were at a fire. Current situation, public safety.
Can I ask a question about that?
You bet.
So the fire that was last night, where was it?
Yeah, it was on Neal Creek Road.
So you were outside the city, and so Fire District 5 is responding.
Correct.
So we have mutual aid, which is very positive, and I'm really glad we have it. How many staff did they have there?
Oh, geez. Quite a bit. I would say they had 3 fire engines, 3 water tenders, and then Marshall was the IC, he would know better than I would.
They had 8 personnel on duty.
At the fire.
Yes. When I called for manpower, extra manpower, I was told that each vehicle, 3 water tenders, 3 engines, were all manned by one person. So, and then
at Fire District 5?
Correct. And then Chief Hanley and one other member, so there was 8 on duty for District 5 for 3 stations.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So that seems like not very many people either.
That is bare bones. You can't very... It's hard to accomplish what the objectives are on a fire ground that you need to accomplish. Just a little, if I may, while this was going on, we actually had 3 other fires, or 2 other fires in Jackson County going on. So when I went to a second alarm and asked for resources, I was normally would get 2 to 3 engines. I was able to get 1 engine from Medford because they were working, and we ended up pulling units from California to accommodate and try to get personnel. So if people want to say that it will never happen, it does happen that we are, you know, fighting multiple incidences across Jackson County. And so mutual aid is not always something that we can count on.
Right.
Thank you.
Any
You see that I'm wanting to ask you a question. Forming it is the tricky part. I don't want to sound argumentative.
No reason.
Necessarily, but when was the last time we had that situation?
It happens a little bit more frequently. I cannot give you an exact date, but when we have vehicle fires up on I-5, truck brick fires, anytime we actually were called to Rapp Road, my tour before, and we took 5 personnel out for a attic fire.
One of the things that I'm looking to be educated about is when we look at the staffing levels between 8 and 9, I mean, what it seems like to me, a couple of things. One, when I manage people, overtime is often an inefficient use of resources. So somehow we can't just talk about overtime being something that is a positive. It's also a signal that things are being dealt with inefficiently. Secondly, it seems as if we have resources standing by, and I'm trying to reconcile that. We're ready, but we also sit there ready for a very long period of time without being used. And so we're paying for those resources, and trying to find that balance is kind of what we're searching for here. I know what optimum is. It's nice if we've got everybody ready to go, sitting there, and can draw from them. But if that only happens on an infrequent basis, how do we reconcile that? How do we pay for?
In regards to the overtime, I would say I tend to agree with you, but I also believe that's why Chief Shepard said to help cut out the overtime we need frequently. And then in regards to being available, you know, our job is public safety, and sometimes it's not going to make sense numbers-wise. It's, you know, we're an expensive insurance policy.
I get that.
And we, you know, if you look at the way we staff our apparatus, I would argue that anybody does it more efficiently than we do. Being able to run a fire engine and, because basically what we do is sometimes we staff 2 vehicles at the same time. Like when we have an ambulance, they're also staffing the Wildland. So if a Wildland fire comes in, the Wildland engine goes. Station 1, we staff a fire engine and then a Wildland urban. So like we're staffing a lot of vehicles with a minimum amount of people that we can figure out a way to do.
I don't want to take too much of your time, but I don't want this to sound as if I'm critiquing you or criticizing the fire department on how they handle business. You're talking to people that don't do it.
No, and I don't.
And then you're talking to people that also want to go out there and defend whatever it is we're doing.
Yeah,
so
I'm not trying to come off that way.
No, you're not. You're doing good.
I understand because I have these conversations with my mom, and she's confused by it herself, and then I have to draw it out on a piece of paper. So public safety, fire department, and especially the way we operate, the way we post out vehicles, is complicated to the layman's person. Like I said, other fire departments don't quite understand.
Roberta was next.
Just a quick question for you. Yes, on this last fire that you're speaking of, how many went from our fire department here?
There was five, ma'am.
Five there, so that would leave, what, three?
There was four left. We were at nine that day.
Oh, okay.
And while we were on that call, they ran three medicals and had a fire alarm with a water sounding, so.
Well, yeah, which is an interesting thought frame that we won't go down that, but that separate the medical calls from the fire.
Right.
It changes that whole dynamic too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So it was kind of along what Dennis was drilling down to. So duplicity of calls, I guess, or when you have a fire engine out and then there's another call for fire engine, you must have data on over the last, you know, because this is really an exercise in data mining.
Right.
You know, so over the last 2 years, 3 years, how many actual times has that happened?
I think it's about 42% of the time.
42% of the time, but you're either out on an ambulance call and the fire truck gets...
42% of the time where we have two calls, multiple calls coming in.
Okay.
At the same time. Now, whether...
Do you drill it down any further and say X percent of that 42 is fire, or...
Chief's over
here. I think at our budget, when Chief Rossi presented the budget, fire department budget, we actually had a slide in there that showed the number of overlapping calls.
That's what I'm trying to find.
And Sean, we can't drill down too far. We can show how many times that we had one unit out, and then a second unit had to go out during the same time period, and then a third unit had to go out, and two units were already out. We have those numbers over the entire year. But I can't compare it to, I can't pull out, like, was this a fire engine out, and then we had an ambulance.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm asking.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a little,
that'd be great to know, wouldn't it?
It would. Our report management system
okay.
is allowing
me. No worries. Thank you.
Okay. We're making good progress. No, thank you.
We are here to answer questions, just like Chief Shepherd and Ralph Sartain, because, like I said, public safety, it can be confusing. So.
I might want your mother's phone number so she
can
explain it to me later.
So we believe public safety is an essential service. The City Council stated that it is not a value-added service. The fire department is not the only city department experiencing budget cuts, but one could argue it has had the biggest cuts. As we spoke a little bit earlier, fire department future needs, kind of along with the overtime, would be a deputy chief and three additional firefighters. And just to kind of give you a comparison of like a national standard, when I first started kind of going to industry standard 14 years ago in the fire service, a lot of it was based on theory, and it now came up with science behind these numbers. So an industry standard is 15 firefighters for a residential fire and 28 for a commercial fire for initial response. Studies have shown that four firefighters versus three firefighters increases efficiency of fire ground operations. A four-person crew can complete 22 essential firefighting and rescue tasks in a typical residential structure 25% faster than a three-person crew. Now, if everybody's in quarters and we have staffing of nine, you can essentially have a four-person crew. Why is this important? One of the big reasons why this is important nowadays is because the flammability of modern building material increases the importance of initial response, because we're not using as big lumber anymore. We're using plates to attach trusses. So firefighter safety and property conservation is very, very time sensitive. The quicker we can get there with as many people as possible, the quicker we can save if someone's inside or in firefighter safety. ambulance service area, there's one point that we feel like we don't quite, haven't quite got across. The firefighters that we have that staff the ambulances on a day-to-day basis are also firefighters. So they run the EMS calls primarily, and then if we have other emergencies like a fire, they will come with us. So it's very, very important. Losing ASA, as Chief Shepherd has said, will reduce firefighters by 3. It will reduce the service levels to the citizens of Ashland and reduces firefighter safety and department capabilities. So our solution is Ashland Fire and Rescue becomes the district.
Just want to make a note. I just want to be sure you're not saying that Chief Shepherd said that by losing the 3 firefighters, we would be reducing service levels and reducing firefighter safety and department capabilities.
No, that's our opinion.
Okay, got it.
Everything in news from the union.
One question that I have in terms of firefighters, does that include, what auxiliary staff does that include? Does that include things like FireWise and AFR and staff for those programs?
So when we get to the budget numbers, some of it will include that. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about 8-9 staffing, that's firefighters.
Okay.
And when you talk about the fire district, is that the physical Ashland, or are you talking about something that would be bigger than?
Yeah, so like you were explaining to Kelly the other days, we would do the exact same things we're basically doing right now. We would cover the city of Ashland for fire, and we'd keep our ambulance service area. It just wouldn't be basically a department.
Right, but I think what he's asking is the geographic boundary of the district.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked about it, you said the geographic boundary of the district would be the city of Ashland.
Correct.
Still be the city of Ashland.
Yeah. Yeah, be the same.
So will those other areas that now we do service, what will happen with them? Will the district pull out and cover them? What will happen? Because they'll lose these 8 or 9 folks that they're used to drawing from.
Let me see if this way makes it. The only thing that would really change in regards to responses is the name on our shirt. So it would be, right now it says Ashland Fire and Rescue. If this idea moves forward, it would be Ashland Fire and Rescue District. Does that help?
And I guess what you're saying is then the population, it's that way, so the population of Ashland pays for it, but it will still cover the whole thing that it covers now.
For the ambulance, but not for the fire.
Fire's the city, the fire department. Is the city of Ashland, and then we have mutual agreements outside the city of Ashland.
Right, right.
The ambulance service is actually a bigger area than the city of Ashland. It covers Talent all the way to the California border.
But the district will cover everything he just described.
No, when we're talking district, we're just talking the fire department.
Oh.
The part of the city
of
Ashland.
You're not talking fire and ambulance.
We are, because we would be one and the same.
So
but
you are
the
talking.
District would be the city of Ashland, sorry.
So let me see if I can. So a district mainly is a taxing entity,
right?
And then paying for that service delivery.
Exactly.
So right now, the citizens of Ashland pay their property tax, and we provide ambulance service and mutual aid to some degree outside of the city of Ashland. We provide ambulance service outside. If what they're talking about is a district, what would happen is the district would be formed, or the city of Ashland would still pay the district for the district, and they would still run the ambulance around all through the ASA. So the thing that would change, mainly from a financing standpoint, is that the citizens of Ashland would pay taxes to the district.
Right.
That would be the difference. And then the district would provide direct service to the citizens of Ashland and outside.
I think a question that you'd need to answer at some point, if I can frame it this way, because I think I feel where Roberta's trying to go a little, is that outside of Ashland, the ambulance service that we provide outside of Ashland, do we break even on that part of it? Or do we subsidize that part of it? In other words, you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's like if you're going to do to a fire district and all of a sudden you're going to be a separate district, you're going to have also the fire or the ambulance service for the ASA. Is it going to be the citizens of Ashland subsidizing ambulance service? We may be even doing that at this point in time.
We are. It's the same thing.
Right? I mean, do we break even, make money on calls outside of Ashland? Or is that costing us money as a community?
Well, we bring in revenue for every ambulance transport.
I bring in revenue, and my wife isn't always happy with that because I am more costly. So, I mean, revenue is not the issue. It's the cost. It's the cost that goes along with the revenue. So,
I guess the question I have is, do you have a separate tax base for the ambulance service?
No, we do not.
So it would still be the same. And so you couldn't.
So the issues would be the same.
Yeah. So we'd still be paying for it one way or the other, citizens of Ashland.
Yeah, I would say for the fire department, we could, the ambulance revenue would go directly to the fire department, the district. Right now it goes into the general fund. And so that money would be able to be directly used to subsidize the fire operations.
And if you did a district, would you be looking to add the three firefighters that you want?
Yes.
So what we're really doing is we're really trading a general fund, which we are charging the city of Ashland for now. We're going to start a new fire district, all in order to be able to get the three firefighters, which sounds much more costly than if we just gave you the three firefighters.
But the other thing that would be different would be that the
I'm
way...
I'm just trying to compute... I'm trying to come up with the right answer. I know what you're saying.
The way the numbers would line up, it would be something that disappears from the budget and shows up in people's tax bill at the end of the year. Right. Right?
Exactly.
So that's how people would see it.
Yeah.
Okay, well that's...
Yeah, exactly. They pay for it.
There would be I would say in another slide at some point, one of the benefits for the city to have the fire department become a district is you're pulling 30 employees out of the PERS system.
Yeah.
And as you've all learned, that the PERS system, the local government has a hard time. The state runs that.
Can you say that again?
You're pulling 30 people out of the city.
If you went to a district versus where we are now.
Right.
But they'd be covered under your district.
Right.
So they're covered, and they're being paid for by our citizens on the tax bill.
We're just going to pay more.
Yeah.
I think, Brent
Well, I mean, are you, unless you're suggesting we're going to cut if we did this.
Yeah, and if you just, when he goes through, you'll get a better idea of the finances that they're talking about.
But can I just quickly say one? Is there such a thing as just a fire district without the ambulance?
Yeah, there are fire districts that
without the ambulance. So that is a thought process available.
District 5 and District 3 in the top provide that.
Right.
But I think in a later slide you will see that it would...
You'd still have to convince Jackson County that...
Yeah, there's quite a few steps to it. So I think we've hit this one. Pros and cons of a fire district for the city of Ashland. By this day, you're taking 30-plus employees out of the city, PERS, into the district, 30-plus employees out of city insurance costs. Ashland citizens would make up the fire district force. So there's a big difference between a city fire department and a fire district, is that it's like typically a five-person citizen board. Reduces the burden on internal city services. As a fire department and people who live in stations 24 hours a day, we do put quite a strain on city services, particularly facility and the city shops. One less bargaining unit to negotiate with. I was hoping Tina might be here to get kind of a chuckle out of her. And then possible funding for city services, the district the contract for city services, like maybe like IT or HR, stuff like that, payroll. Some cons is loss of general fund revenue from the ambulance service. and loss of general fund revenue from fire inspections.
I still don't understand how that would or wouldn't impact services that might not be essential. AFR services, FireWise services. In a fire district, would those be covered or not?
I can skip ahead here and kind of show you. So these are like Kelly said, these are numbers that we came up with, that we used the budget document online. There's two options that we see. One would be the fire district without the wildfire division, and then one with the wildfire division. And that's your tax dollars per thousand. So Grants Pass tried this recently, and they had like a $4, let's just say $4 tax rate, and they just wanted to add the fire district rate right on top. Part of our proposal is to try to fit it within as much as we can of the current tax rate, which would mean the city would take in less property tax revenue. As you can see, to your point about other districts, Jackson County Fire District 3 charges $3.11 per 1,000, and District 5, which is the surrounding area of Ashland, charges $3.19 per 1,000.
Brent, before you go, why don't you go back one slide? Because you have a bunch of slides that talk about the process of the district. Go the other direction.
Yep.
So
we're done.
I think the district formation, you know, while I think that's important for this group, it's pretty rote in terms of the procedure is governed by law, and so I don't know that that's, I mean, you can go over that with them, but I think the slide that you showed before that talked about the City of Ashland property tax distribution is important.
The one I was just at, Kelly?
Go one forward? One.
It's like a couple forward, I think. The other one.
Other one?
There. Yep. Because the district formation, I guess what I would say about that is, if the city decided, if this group recommended that to the city council, and the city council said, yes, we want to explore district staff, go and figure this out, then it becomes a city function. And we go through all those steps, whatever those steps are, to form a district or put it on the ballot or those kinds of things. But I think this is important to talk about.
So the question that I was trying to ask is, we are currently doing 4.4317 is what you're saying, right? Okay. And if a fire district was created, Kelly, mm-hmm. Is it going to occupy space inside the $4, or are you going to put it on top of that?
Well, that's not going to be my decision.
No.
But you have two. So here, and Brent and I talked about this.
Okay.
So do you mind, Brent, if I jump in?
Yeah.
Okay. So there are a couple ways that it can be done. There can be done the Grants Pass way, which is the city says our tax levy is $4 per thousand, and I'm just saying
for the sake of it.
And if you want to form a district fire department, that's going to be taxes that our citizens pay on top of the or what Brent is suggesting is that the city would commit to foregoing our levy, our total levy, and let's say our levy was $4 and they need $2, the city would forego $2. What I explained to Brent is no council can bind a future council. So while a council could say that, I don't think it would be held to it in the future. In fact, it would not be held to it in the future. But just initially, that's what the proposal is. The proposal is that the city that he's saying we have these fire bonds, they take up almost 19 cents per thousand, and then we have money that goes directly to parks, which is that $1.89, and that was for this current biennium, which is a little bit less than his parks had historically received. And that, and then the remainder is that $2.35. And what he, and then on the next slide, what he's saying is, this is how much it would cost, the $2.41 or the $2.66 or thereabout, to do those things.
So it's $4 plus $2.66?
I would say worst or best case scenario, right? Because it depends on how you look at it. So it's a complete policy decision, right, whether it's additive or not. And what I'm saying is, even if it's not considered additive in the beginning,
right, yep,
there we have the city has the authority to tax to our levy.
Got it.
Do they get a separate? Just to quick follow. Do they get a separate maximum amount,
yes,
they can levy?
Yep, they pick it when they form the district.
Okay. Just from the perspective of this committee, and looking at it, what you're saying, when our, as I understand simplistically, our charge is to cut expenses somehow, or to balance a budget, and what this would do, the way you're speaking of it, is cut the income. It cuts the tax rate.
It does cut the tax rate.
And I don't, and that takes out the income, along with the expense, but it does not solve the, or even address the charge of this committee, if it's looked at that way.
Right. I would say it does take that out of the property tax, but the city does receive other sources of fees, revenue. They get franchise fees, charges for services, intergovernment. I mean, it's right here.
But the district gets those, right?
No, that would go straight to the city.
Has the city ever looked at or thought about this before, or addressed this before, talked about this before?
You know, I think so, but maybe Chief Shepherd has a thought on that. Not while I've been here.
Okay, I remember.
I've never seen.
I just wondered this.
I think in 2015, John Carnes and I, or John Carnes, Chief Carnes, first did a study session to the council with a bunch of different proposals, and the fire district came up at the time.
Right.
The time was a possible idea.
I thought that point was more of a looking at possibly merging with Fire District 5.
That was another option.
Right. So has that been kind of in this whole idea of Fire District? Has that idea been swashed around again? Because I don't think, have we ever seen anything from that? I remember there was a discussion that we were going to do a RFP.
For a feasibility study.
Right, and then nothing really happened after that. But it would be interesting to kind of, if we're opening the can of worms, to kind of see what it looks like.
I would say, in regards to the merging, I would want you guys to look at that. Because the district, if we merge with District 5,
their tax rate's 319.
Right.
But I want to clarify that. So one of the things that Chief DeRozzi, when he was here, and we actually met with Chief Hanley, the Fire District 5 chief, and he is from California, and he had been through a couple of different kinds of mergers. One was a district merger where it would actually be one district, and you sort of legally merge your district, your fire department and the fire district, and then we would have to figure out the taxes and how that would be done legally in Oregon. Then the other thing he talked about was an administrative merger, which was basically everyone sort of wearing their same uniforms and bringing,
right,
so if we didn't have a position and they did, we could share that position or vice versa.
Yeah.
And so we did talk a little bit about that, and then a bunch of things happened. And so we didn't talk about that anymore.
Yeah.
But we did initially, but it was just very cursory, Sean.
I was part of those discussions, and a bunch of things did happen. That's all I was going to say, and
yeah,
we ended up pretty quick.
Okay.
One other question. When you go on your website, and I'll start with EMS, AFR, CERT, fire prevention, CPR classes, PSAs, FireWise, wildfire hazard zone designation, and I actually got to take a wilderness first aid class through you guys from Knowles.
You're talking about the fire department.
Yeah, the fire department. If you go to an outside district, are those your option?
It could be the fire board's option. Yeah.
And whether they did them or not. So it takes that away from the city as making that an option.
Yeah, but I would say keeping in mind that the board is made up of actual citizens. And so I would say that I would assume that, like I said, I think we would maintain the same types of services that we do now. We're just basically the... Where this is coming from is we're not wanting to change operations per se. We are looking at the current financial situation and the future financial situation and trying to figure out a way to make it more sustainable for the fire department and the general fund in the city of Ashland. Keeping in mind, like, if we become a fire district, some of the stuff that comes up being a firefighter, your turnouts, your apparatus, your buildings, that would fall on the fire district instead of the city of Ashland. So that type of stuff is something that the district would take on. And so
I'm trying to reconcile.
We're not saying this is the greatest solution in the world. But we are saying we believe it is something that should be researched and checked into. We believe it's the correct way to go. But doesn't mean it's 100% the right way to go. This is more of an information thing, like Kelly said. We are not budget experts like Kelly and Bryn and the City Hall, admin is. So, but we worked really hard on getting these numbers and be accurate as we can. But we really feel like as you look at other cities, we believe that something different needs to happen. We're just going to continue running into this roadblock. We ran into it this budget cycle, and as Kelly, we discussed in our meeting, it's going to continue in 2 years from now and then the next 2 years. So it's not looking good, and so we're just trying to figure out a way to balance to where the general fund is more stabilized while also the fire department can meet up with the demands.
I want to say thank you for thinking of a potential solution. Our job is to sort of vet out whether or not what we're going to do with that. So if we're grilling you or
no, I expect
all that kind of stuff. Okay. So because there's just kind of a two-part thing. One, I still can't get past the fact that this is just to the average citizen of Ashland. This is just going to cost more money across the board. And we will not have accomplished, well, at least our mission is. We're trying to figure out how to stay within a certain parameter. I lost my focus on the other question. Somebody go ahead. I'll come back to
that. Are there any assumptions being made of the district not taking us? I mean, if there's 30 employees out on PERS and there's all these CapEx, costs, fixed costs that now Ashland won't have to bear, why would someone else take that for us? Why would the district say, yeah, it's a great idea, we'll do that? Does that make sense?
We're forming a new district.
You're forming a new district.
We're already made up, and it's forming a new district. We're not becoming part of District 5.
Okay, I'm still on the merger thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's forming a new district.
My question was going to be, you said something that I want to take you back to. You said that you're not the budget people like Bryn and Kelly are or other people are. So when you form this district, who is going to be the number person?
That would be the fire district board and the chief.
Yeah, we have that now. I mean, Who's going to be the finance person who keeps things in line and budgets?
Well, so you could, District 5 and District 3 have a finance expert.
Okay.
So it's up to the district, they could hire a finance expert.
Oh, I see. You mean it's up to the district to decide that, not that you're not going to leave it to a five-person board to micromanage your finances.
No. And one of the benefits I think I probably glossed over as we jumped around a little bit is the fire district board, they are concentrated on fire operations. So they're educated on the fire. Whereas when a fire department is within the city, city councilors, city administrators have to know a lot of information about a lot of stuff. So it basically concentrates that expertise, if you will, that work on the fire department. So as you say, like the finance, the board says, hey, I think we need to get a finance director to align us. That'd be up to the fire district board.
And probably the savings would be the overhead costs would be much lower than the city's overheads.
Right, I wanted to go back to this pros list and talk about each of these because I'm not sure about some of them. But before that, it says that the property tax, it leaves $2.35 left, but that's $2.66, so we give like negative money to the police department. Is that?
No.
I don't know how we would get down if we were to give up, if the city were to give up 2.66.
So part of the two, it's our proposal that we would stop doing the city would stop doing the $3 AFR fee.
Okay.
So you're basically moving money from fee to the tax rate.
So the only tax, it would be a wash if the only tax, tax were for the fire bond and the parks, is that what you're saying? And then this 266 would be a wash from that.
The AFR brings in, I guess, $33,000 a month.
I think it's a couple hundred a year.
That's 278 or something like that, Ren.
For September, it was $33,000. In September 19.
It's $400,000. So there's the, backing up a step.
It was the additional, John, that we...
Oh, okay, yeah.
In terms of the email that we sent you.
Right.
I think that 278 was additional to the original...
169.
377 a year.
So, going back to that pros list.
For the city?
Yes. Yeah. So the 30 plus city employees out of city PERS, are the fire district employees part of, are they state employees? Are they part of PERS in any way?
It would be PERS, but it would be the district's responsibility to save that PERS contributions.
Sure. But it would still fall to the citizens of Ashland, right?
True. I mean, yeah, there was that point, but, you're taking, as far as the city's responsibility, would take out those people.
Sure. Fair enough. I mean, yes, it's just moving it to another bucket, it seems like. Same with the insurance, like the district would have to have their own insurance type of thing, right? So I don't know if there'd be any savings there. I would assume that with the city there's more savings just out of a larger pool. I don't know. And then the reduced burden on internal city services, that's where we were getting to. If you have to then hire a controller, and the city already has a controller, it seems like you're sort of losing the efficiencies of scale there.
I would say that the fire district would be able to find what they believe the most efficient way to do it. You're talking about a 30
35-plus member departments. You may not need the actual HR director for the district. You could do some other things that you could contract some of those services with the city, and you could also do some of the third party.
Sure. Sure, and that's what the internal services is basically doing. Like, it's a contracting between departments to the city. So they would charge you for their time using their stuff. So it just seemed kind of like a wash there. I don't know if it would be a pro. That's all I'm wondering about. And I just wanted to hit on those.
So this, we get charged quite a bit, or every department gets charged internal services. The central service fee, the facility use fee. I believe some stuff we could probably do for a lower cost.
Sure, fair.
Did you have a question?
Well, maybe I'm being simplistic here, but it seems like in some ways what this is doing is it's providing more safety for fire, but is it the expense of the loss of the general fund and the negotiating with other parts of the city? And it seems like the citizens are going to pay the same amount no matter what. But this is a way of protecting the fire department or fire personnel more than other employees of the city.
It is based on fire. A lot of it's based on firefighter safety. I'm not going to lie on that. But I would say it, when you take out for like I said, one of the biggest things for the city is that local governments have a hard time controlling their purse costs because that's a state level decision. And that would fall into the fire district to manage those 30 plus employees. So the city would not necessarily have to worry about that purse increase.
Except it isn't really, looking at this as reducing budget, reducing costs, I don't see how it does that in terms of the citizens.
Well, and even taking it a step farther, I can't even buy into the citizens are going to pay the same amount no matter what, because that requires the city to lower its tax rate for that to happen, and I don't think that's necessarily a reasonable assumption. I think the city needs that tax rate, and it's not covering expenses now. So if this is pulled out and they have their $3 or whatever tax rate and the city does not reduce their tax rate, the citizens will be paying quite a bit more.
So we should find a place to put a pin in it. I think that what we might do with this information after you're done and we have some time, it really is something that's more designed for the council to weigh. It really isn't. We can say, yes, you should maybe give this a listen or give this some consideration or something along those lines. I would want to talk to you about that for giving me that look like I just did something bad.
No.
I don't know what to do with it. I guess I'm not sure that that's what we would do, or we just say thank you and hope to never see you again, or whatever the action is. But we this part of it, we need to be able to figure out how to close and then move to the rest of our agenda for the day. So
can I?
Sure.
So I look at this, and I would see some savings just over the city's overhead is much higher than anyone else's in the world. And so the fees that the fire departments charge would be much lower. The tax base would be separated out. As I understand, the city's up against their cap. It looks like you'd get a few more dollars because you could now raise up to the cap. The cap doesn't drop by this amount.
Right.
So you would now have another funding stream if you wanted. But what I would see is a little loss of control over the fire department. And if we want to retain that and the services of the fire department, that's another issue I think we would look at.
Maybe that's a consideration. I'm not sure that I agree with you that there's going to be savings involved with this. I completely get the point, and you may even be right, although you guys are self-proclaimed non-financial people and budget people, so that we're going to be able to do this, you're going to be able to do this for less than the internal services charges. Now, that could be, but you're still going to need some of that stuff, and to Shane's point, that's going to cost you something. So I think those numbers would have to be very carefully looked at as far as how they were done on your end. But the fact of the matter is, I think it's been said here, I think Roberta just said it, plainly, the city's not going to back off from leveraging as much as it can out of the property taxes. And this is going to be in addition to that. And so at some point, we can say 4.4 plus 2.16, and we're now around $6 and 50 cents. And so that's what it sounds like at this point. But maybe we can continue to think about it.
To me, that would fail. And that's what happened in Grants Pass. They just added it to the straight and it failed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it would take a sacrifice from the city's department.
Except the thing is that the city can, and this is what Kelly's point is, budget committees and city councils can't tie the hands of others. So in a period of time, you could see that right back up there. So I think we have to mull it over.
It's an idea. Yeah. Trying to figure out a solution.
Appreciate you bringing it. Do you want? Is there more that you wanted to?
No,
do
I think you've covered it.
I want to say
that you guys have other things to get to.
I want to say that my glasses never looked like the glasses in that picture there.
You know, one of the things that this group could do is, you are going to be making recommendations to the city council, and you could, you know, convey that you received this recommendation or this idea, and, you know, that can be part of your information that you provide to the council, and the council can do with it what they want.
That's what I was suggesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Did you want to say anything? He didn't let you say a word. I mean, it was like,
I'm just the brains behind the operation. I'm the finance of it.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. You did well, I want to say. None of this is by way of being critical. It's just, it's dicey times. Okay. In the time that we have left.
Thank you.
Kelly?
Yep.
I'll look to you if you want to lead us through your thoughts on this. It seems to me that we are in need of figuring out our next steps, figuring out closing steps, at least for this incarnation of what we're doing. Your thoughts?
Yes. So at the last meeting, you all talked about wanting some things, wanting some information. And we got you some information, and I'll talk about fixed and variable costs. I'm going to kind of go through this a little bit. I'm going to start with fixed and variable. So what Bryn did was she put together two spreadsheets for you.
Mm-hmm. And those were really...
tried are there extras anywhere?
Do you care?
I didn't print mine out.
I think I have one.
Is this extra?
Yes.
On email.
I got this. No, this didn't say.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, got it?
You got this one's titled, What on the...
What is titled Ashland Fire and Rescue Department Admin Fire and EMS Operations, yeah. And that's a projection out to 23-24.
Right.
And then we also provided the materials and services expense. So what Bryn did was we wanted to show you a very, it's not, the spreadsheet isn't that simple behind the scenes, but trying to be very transparent and simple in the way that, so you can just see the plain numbers. Because one of the things that this group is tasked with, like you talked about, is trying to look at reducing costs, or looking at reducing costs and seeing what those service levels would do upon reducing those costs. And I wanted to, we wanted to project out a little bit too, because the other thing is, it's not enough for this group really to take a snapshot and assume that that snapshot doesn't change as we move into the future, because it will. And so, Bryn, do you just want to kind of walk through the two spreadsheets that we provided, and then we can talk a little bit about fixed and variable and kind of, and so what I'd like to do is kind of take a look at the numbers, and then maybe, depending on how you want to go, help facilitate a dialogue of how this recommendation happens, and if you have enough information, if you don't, what kind of more information you're looking for, so that we can move. I think one of the main purposes of this group, honestly, from the council's perspective and the budget committee's perspective, was to look at the ambulance. And so really want to get that tied up.
So if we start on the colored, slightly colored, sorry, the copy, the larger of the two sides. The top is status quo. That is where we are at right now, and it's only fire and EMS. So this spreadsheet does not include forest, interface, wildfire division. Thank you. Mm-hmm. The wildfire division. Or the fire and life safety division. This is just strictly the fire operations, which includes the EMS. That's what this is. So we take into consideration status quo, continuing the ambulance service, and then the total fire and EMS expense, and the general fund needs. Staying status quo, that is the amount from the general fund.
What is EMS?
That's Emergency Medical Service. That's the ambulance.
Then I don't understand, without the ambulance service, why it says total fire and EMS expense. If you didn't have the ambulance service...
Because it's showing history also.
Yeah. Out to 2021 is where...
So back here...
They dropped the ambulance.
Okay. Yeah, okay. In the past, but it just blows my mind that the expense doesn't go down.
So, because that's just keeping the ambulance service. This top one is
right.
Just
as it
but
is.
But this line here.
Right. It does from here, though.
It does.
So that's the difference. It's 1.1 million from this to that.
Can I?
Does that mean we're selling all the ambulances? Does that mean we don't have them on our books anymore? Is that how this line is looking at it? We don't own ambulances.
So this is strictly just removing the three ambulances.
Operational.
Yeah, just the three ambulances. The items that Chief Shepherd let us know would be reduced if we were to remove the ambulance service. That does include the maintenance, the fuel, that
the
large
ambulances.
The ambulances, everything, and those three personnel that he talked about.
Just a moment here. It looks to me, when we go from the top line in 2021-22 to this question, which is the total fire and EMS is 8.1 million. And then in the middle line is 6.9 million, almost 7 million. It seems like the expense is
1.1.
The 1.2 million dollars. That's all you've done is just wash the revenue. So it
But are you wondering why you don't see that number?
No, I'm wondering that insinuates that the EMS costs
nothing
and the revenue
are the same.
Are exactly the same.
Yeah.
That there's no net either benefit or net loss on the EMS.
And Chief Shepherd has told us that.
Well, the actual assumption is that the costs are less than the revenues. Costs are more than the revenues. So by, right?
I believe what Chief Shepherd, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe what when he presented to you folks that it was a wash. It was very close to being a wash.
Okay. It's $1.2 million in revenue. And it's right. That $1.2 million in expense.
Okay.
Is that because the personnel do not decrease?
If we were to remove the ambulance service,
yes.
He had mentioned three personnel would decrease.
They and would decrease.
And that's why, from that is that why sense. Going from that, when you look at that $8.1 million,
we go to the 6.
You go to $6.9 mm-hmm. million.
Right.
So that's because of all of those costs, including those three people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, when we say all of those costs, just so that we're all on the mm-hmm. same page, we're talking about supplies for the ambulances, insurance for the ambulances,
mm-hmm. yep.
gas for the ambulances, mm-hmm. all this upkeep for the ambulances, all those costs plus personnel.
Plus three people.
Magically.
With all their perks.
I'm just saying, magically come out to be exactly what we bill out on the $1.2 yeah. million.
Is that
right?
Yeah, and I'll just, we go back to the very first set of questions, page two.
Which one is this? What is
the very first is really...
Did she send... Did
cost review ad hoc committee, ambulance service questions.
This is what we just got sent, right?
Yeah, the very first one. Both Mercy Flights and National provided.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I'm not
so
sure.
That's what they sent us a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure that I have
that.
I'm going to go make some copies.
Okay. That would be great. We have rumblings all over.
Dennis, could I have just a minute?
No. You can have more than a minute.
All right.
90 seconds at least.
I think it's important. You asked in my opinion what cost savings we might gain by getting rid of the ambulance service. Right. So as your fire chief, my recommendation was that we go from 30 personnel to 27 personnel, that we sell the ambulances, and then I put together my list of reductions for the year. So the three personnel, overtime related to those, overtime related to all of our personnel that respond to ambulance-type calls. We were able to eliminate bad debt, a chunk of our dispatch services. We wouldn't have to worry about patient billing services, ambulance supplies, the cost of the ambulances themselves, cost of maintenance, the fuel for the ambulances, and then some associated fees. Those savings come out to about $1.1 million a year. Consequently, when we looked at how much money we were bringing in from the ambulance service, figures show that we were about 1.17. So we're actually just, if you take, if what I offer you sounds reasonable, then we're actually losing a little bit of money. I'll just throw out to this group and to the council down the road that if we were to do away with the ambulance service, my recommendation is that we only fall back to 27 people. But that's a separate conversation, because as we roll into the next biennium and we're talking about the budget and how many dollars are available, it could certainly that the budget committee and the city council could say, I'm sorry, Chief Shepherd, but you have to eliminate 10 people out of your budget because we just simply can't afford it. I mean, that's a separate conversation. So you asked me early on, how much will we save? And to the best of my knowledge and my recommendation in order to keep the citizens as safe as possible for the amount of money that I have to work with, this was my recommendation.
Let me ask you this. I guess I've been thinking incorrectly here, but three firefighters come out $160,000 each. Now, does that include their PERS, their payroll taxes, their insurance, everything?
That's everything.
Comes to $160,000 for those individuals.
Correct.
Chief, sorry.
Go ahead.
What I'm struggling with, and I've looked at this, and I put it back down, and I looked at it again several weeks later. You're saying that over a two-year budget, the whole entire cost expense of having the ambulance service is $2.2 million.
No.
No.
Never. What,
$1.1, I'm just talking cost.
I know. I think it's important to point out that the ambulance service is not entirely separate from the rest of the department operations.
Okay.
All right. That, we are, I'm going to read you a paragraph.
But before you do, I think what he's asking.
I'm trying to get to
what, what he's asking, and I want to get to this too. What you save doesn't exactly mean that's what it costs. Okay, so it could be costing us more than $1.1 million at this point in time. And that's the numbers that we're trying to match up. I understand this is what you can save.
Yes. That's it's how much we can save.
Right.
It might be costing us more.
Right.
But because fire and the ambulance portions are so intertwined, it's very hard to break out that topic.
Right. So my point was, I'm looking at the number, right? And if the cost of the cost, I'm going by what you said, revenues is $1.2 million and cost is $1.1 million.
Correct.
Right? So if you look at a $19.3 million biannual budget and you take the assumption that ambulance is 70 to 80% of the normal kind of activity in the fire department each month, right? That's fair?
No.
No. It's not?
No, because remember, Sean, that fire departments respond to all emergencies. Every time somebody calls 911, we respond. And as I explained early on, you know, District 5, Medford, District 3, we all do the same thing. Somebody calls 911, we respond to the call as first responders. We start treating the patient. And then at some point, we decide, does this patient need to go to the hospital or not? If they don't need to go to the hospital, we all drive back to the fire station. We wait for the next call. If they need to go to the hospital, our fire department simply puts them in our ambulance and takes them to the hospital.
Right.
And then we come back to the station.
I'm basing that down on the number of calls you get, right? Number of calls you get each month. The activity...
Okay.
So that's how I get 70%. In fact, I got it from you when you told us one time in a budget meeting.
I know. I guess what I was clarifying is that you said ambulance calls. I don't want you to think of them as ambulance.
Well, I'm looking at it. We're talking about ambulance and we're talking about fire. I'm focusing on ambulance.
It's fire and EMS.
Okay, EMS
ambulance has, you got to take ambulance out of the equation because we respond to all medical emergencies.
Yeah, I know that. That's what we're trying to drill down and figure out.
Okay.
So we can't mix apples and oranges. We have to keep the apples together. Yeah. And the apples are the calls for people that need ambulance or EMS service, right?
Can I help you real quick? Hey, Sean, you're trying to extrapolate apples and oranges. After sitting through all the meetings and everything, one of the things that everyone seems to miss is that if you get rid of the ambulance service, the fire truck is still going to calls. You cannot take away the calls for EMS,
right?
Because the guys still have to go to the calls.
Right, but that's another discussion with the city council on what is the level of. So that's
what your question to Chief Shepherd was you're trying to compare it, and what he's trying to help you out, and what you're missing is the fact that the ambulance is not going to, the firefighters are not going to stop responding to calls if the ambulance goes away. They still have to respond to those calls.
Okay.
And so you can't compare it that way because that's not how it works.
Okay.
But from what we've heard, they can. It's a policy decision. And some of the reports we were given, they don't go to the ones, or you know, there are decisions that can be made there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's what the fire, I guess maybe other services call it, it's an acceptable level of risk.
Exactly.
We decide as policymakers what's an acceptable level of risk, and we respond accordingly.
So we interrupted you as you were going somewhere. Or did you go where you wanted to go? Yeah.
You wanted to read your
paragraph. Yeah.
I was just going to read. It's important to point out that the ambulance service is not entirely separate from the fire department operations. National Fire and Rescue has always been and always will be a fire department first and an ambulance service second. Like most fire departments across the country, we provide all hazards responses, which basically means that we respond to any 911 call that's not police related
where a citizen no longer has the ability to take care of the situation themselves. In 1996, we decided that if we were already going to respond to 911 calls for citizens who were sick or injured, why not just provide the next step in patient care and take them to area hospitals? We had the personnel, we had the equipment, we even had a licensed ambulance. By utilizing our firefighters to their fullest potential, we not only provide exceptional service to the citizens of Ashland, we also contribute over $1 million a year in revenue to the general fund, helping to offset the cost of the ambulance service. I've talked with other chiefs about this. Ashland Fire and Rescue does more than all the other fire departments in the valley because of the ambulance transport. Because they respond to calls, they treat patients, they go back to the fire station. We take people to the hospital, we have to write reports, we have to stock the ambulance. I mean, we have a whole slew of job responsibilities that are tacked on to our job as firefighters. And in return, we give money back to the city.
But
that's my
but,
passion, so.
I know. And you guys do a great job. Nobody is questioning that. It's just whether or not we can continue. We're looking at limited resources and whether we can continue to afford it.
Yeah.
The juxtaposition here, the awkward part of this, is when you say we give $1 million back to the general fund, well, not really. I mean, we give revenues, but we pay it back out. And so,
yeah.
If it was a wash, I mean, I'd like to borrow money from Sean on a wash. It's just there's nothing. I mean, there's not a gain there. We're not getting $1 million to use somewhere else. We're getting $1 million to run ambulance services, and so we're trying to figure out, is that sustainable for us?
Sure.
I mean, if when we talk about your idea of a fire district, it's a worthy thought. But at some point or another, we're all going to be bumping up against the resources again. Even if we go down the road with this, you're going to have people who are going to be getting upset because it's going to cost too much to live in Ashland, and so we're running out of resources. You'd be right back in the same position, I think, in a relatively short period of time. We haven't solved anything.
Right.
And so is it sustainable is the question, is one of the things that I'm interested in. Is it financially sustainable? It might sound like something to do. I mean, all bonds and levies sound like they hold some promise to alleviate some of the situation, but is it sustainable? Are you going to be able to operate like that? That's the question that I'm not sure of.
Well, I think in part, excuse me, yep. Chief, I think if we look at these numbers, mm-hmm. if I understand that there may be this, it may seem unbelievable that these numbers are fairly close. I don't think that anyone... I think the numbers are just what they are. But I think what would be helpful is to kind of look at this sheet. Now, of course, it doesn't go out for, you know, it doesn't go out for 15 years. We could extrapolate out 15 years with the percentage increases that Bryn was kind of looking at using, because they're kind of a straight percentage increase over time. But what I think we wanted to show you is sort of what the additional general fund, because that's, when you talk about it being sustainable, that's kind of what you're saying. Can the general fund afford it, right? Yeah. Because that's the income coming in, whether it's coming in from, it's coming into the general fund, whether it's coming from charges for service or it's coming from just taxes. So that's the key, I think, to look at, which I think, I guess hopefully, would help your policy decision. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe maybe we need to provide you different information. So we provided you this information, and then we provided you this information on the back. And Bryn can go over that information as well, if you'd just like to really quickly.
So there were items that were asked specific items as far as some of the expense for the ambulance service. So we listed those out. There's history there and then projections for the future years. There was also the discussion on what if we went to a Sprinter van type model rather than the ambulances we currently have. Currently, the fire department is charged $47,905 per year for their rentals, their replacement per year for their 5 ambulances. We are reassessing the equipment fund and really trying to determine what the true cost will be in the future across the board citywide for our equipment. And in doing so, so far right now where we're at is we really believe that $150,277 per year should be charged to put the funds aside to adequately fund those ambulance replacements in the future. The Sprinter vans, just purely the initial purchase price, the cost, those would be $60,000 a year without taking anything into consideration on, I don't know, the equipment, like whatever you need to do to get that ready for service.
How does that differ? Because the last ambulance, I think we bought for $250. So are we changing the types of ambulances we're buying, or what is that?
So, I don't understand. So $250 is a lower amount, and this is going out into the future and trying to back in so we can truly, in, say, in 10 years, 15 years, the cost of inflation, and really trying to back into and accurately charge per year how much those are going to cost in the future. So we have that savings account set aside.
They're going to buy once every 3 years. Okay. So they're going to have saved the money up.
And
so
we are looking at a different, the chief has been looking at a different model.
Okay. So these are non-personnel, everything but personnel costs.
Yes.
Okay, so if you add up, I just looked at 1920, I don't know particularly why, but that's $450,000 roughly, right? $450,000.
That column adds.
Yeah, that column, yeah. Right?
Okay.
So if you add the 450, then you get to your $1 million cost or something per year. I'm still having a really hard time accepting that number, because for me it doesn't include, I don't think there's an accurate cost attribution, either direct or indirect cost, for training, supplies. I mean, I went on OpenGov and there's $15,000 in books and periodicals. That's got to be allocated per person in every department that gets that. So if you add up uniforms, small tools, office supplies, training, technical support, operations, you know, station supplies, books, periodicals, there's a lot of attribution there that hasn't been sufficiently allocated to the cost of the ambulance department. And I think that is not accurately reflected. I may be wrong, but it just doesn't seem right. In a $19 million budget, to have less than 12, 13% to be associated with ambulance, it's too small. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, we're still working on making it.
I know, I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, hopefully I'm wrong, but I just, the numbers are too big for that only to be the operational minus people cost to be $450,000 a year for a $10 million a year department, right? I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it. The way I understand, my brain is working, crunching the numbers on, this is what a cost for this service would be. So that's kind of what I'm struggling with. Does that make sense to everyone or not?
Yeah. I understand. And I know there are some costs that we can't just attribute to ambulance as part of, it would go away if ambulance went away.
Yeah.
Like right. The cost of the,
totally
the fire
agree.
Station.
I'm not arguing that. Yes.
We're not going to cut it in half if ambulance goes away. So that's, and like uniforms and training books. I mean, I understand there'll be three less firefighters, but they go through all the same sort of training and everything like that.
Right,
so
computers, I mean, everyone uses it, so there's a cost associated with whatever fixed asset you purchase that gets lined up in that department, broken down by the number of people that use that product or use that cost in the department.
That's the thing, not necessarily like that, because if there were 10 people that used two computers and that's what they had in the fire station and we got rid of three people for the paramedics, there'd still be seven people using two computers.
Yeah.
So but those, the initial so those costs wouldn't go away.
Yeah, okay.
Type of thing. Yeah. That's the, like, I totally understand where you're coming from, and I think there could be more costs that need to be added here, but not all of it is a marginal cost for the ambulance service.
Right, but if the total budget is $19.3 million, right, and the essential cost that we can identify for the ambulance is $1.1 million a year, that's 2.2 over 2 years, that's 11%.
Sure.
And it's a huge percentage of the activity of what happens in the fire and the ambulance is the EMS service.
But you're assuming, I mean, and I think we can do some things with the numbers, but I think that it feels like there's an underlying assumption that if the ambulance service went away, we would have a lot less calls. And what Chief Shepherd is saying is that's not true. So you're talking about three people, and three people, their personnel services, and then kind of the fixed cost or the hard cost, the ambulances, those kinds of things. If we got, so I think we can delve deeper, but I think the assumption that we're going to go on a lot fewer calls, so we need a lot less people, so this number doesn't really look right out of a $19 million budget, I don't see how those are connecting.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think you've hit it head on. And what he is saying, absolutely, there'll be no change in our service, except we won't transport to them. But so, yes, we will continue to do, and as you've said, this is a policy decision, but I think we need to incorporate this if with a recommendation to flesh out the recommendation. If the policy were such and such, then what would the savings be?
Right, because I think for you to achieve that great savings that you're talking about, two things would have to happen. You'd have to say, we're going to get rid of the ambulance service, and we're not going to respond to every call.
That's right.
There is an assumption in that. And
that's right.
That was something else I was going to point out.
Right.
That part B has to happen as well.
Right. Yeah. To reduce. Yeah. And so what you're talking about is, and I think this is a good dialogue, because this group can't just talk about reduced costs in a vacuum, because those reduced costs equal reduced service. Yeah.
That's right.
And so what does, and that those policy decisions have to be made. Do you want to reduce services? Because we are at a point, and I think generally in the city of Ashland, we are at a point where if you cut, you are cutting services. And that's a policy decision for how the city council wants to address that. And frankly, it's a decision for the budget committee. And you guys made some of those decisions this year. You actually cut positions. It was fairly innocuous because you cut pretty much vacant positions, but there's still a service impact. Maybe it's not seen by the citizens, but I can tell you it's certainly seen by the people who work in City Hall and the people who work in the city.
Well, but there again, this is why we incorporated the other service, thinking of it from the citizen's point of view. Would the citizen get this service? And this is what we've spent so much time talking to so many people in so many districts. How has it worked?
So can I ask, why do you have five ambulances you replace every so often? You have two staffed.
So you have two staffed and a third one when we're staffed at 9 or 10. So sometimes we can staff a third ambulance pretty readily. And they are frequently broken, so it's nice having those two extra ambulances. And we are, over the last couple of years, we've been just down to two ambulances several times. Yeah. So we'll actually have three ambulances out of service for various.
Are you on a 10-year replacement, 5-year, on an average? I know you replace them differently.
It's like we're trying to buy a new one every 3 years, and what ends up happening is a couple of the rigs and we end up abusing, and they get pushed way to the back. And a couple of rigs that are still in moderately good shape, we hold those as our second out vehicles. So we kind of shuffle them around based upon how many miles they have and how well they're holding up. So,
okay.
But we are looking at ways to reduce the ambulance cost. It has gotten, this, from my standpoint, it's cost prohibitive. You know, they've just gotten so expensive. So,
well, I tying it to Sean's thing, because I was at that fire last night, and I think there were at least six engines, if not, from California, Rogue River, everywhere else. There was one ambulance, and there was nobody in the ambulance. Luckily, the two guys got out of the house that lived in the house.
Yep.
But you couldn't tell the guys from the ambulance and the guys carrying the oxygen bottles, pulling the hose. There was 1,000 feet of hose out there, two separate tanks, and everyone was filling the tanks or pumping it to get it up there. You couldn't tell one guy from the next. I don't know who was in the ambulance. And so I think it is a pretty complex thing, and I would guarantee there weren't a surplus of people up there. So it was a pretty kind of numbing thing to watch how much apparatus and how much equipment and how many people it takes to operate the equipment. So I don't know if that's something we want to look at getting rid of personally.
But it does seem like whenever this expansive community of firefighters, when they draw together, they're quite a mighty force. And they,
you know,
and it's it is a community that is providing this.
They were carrying the Medford guys were each carrying three bottles up with them, including the one on their back and all their gear, and walking up, I don't know, almost a half mile up this. And it does take a lot, and it just takes a lot of people. I didn't realize how much, and they go in and out, and they exchange. You know, three go in, three come out. Those come out, three go back.
That's, you know, when Brent was talking earlier about those NFPA standards of how many people we like to have on a fire, you know, that 14 or 15 is the standard. And across the experts, they say. And that's still that we've always thought, hey, it'd be great if we could get there, but we know that we'll never have the funding within our department to get there. But if we have our group of nine and District 5 can send, you know, another five or six, then we're meeting we're close to our standard. We're not making our times, but at least we're getting the requisite amount of people.
There's a thing in this role that you have to be careful of. It's oversight versus micromanagement, right? And our job is oversight. The micromanagement part of this, your jobs, is are we getting $1 of service for $1 paid? You know, are we utilizing the resources absolutely perfectly? Or is there room to do better within the same resource set? That's really kind of more where we need your help, because again, this isn't going away as an issue. Are we operating with peak efficiency, or can we gain more peak efficiency and gain more firefighters within the same dollar amount? I mean, I'm not yet ready to give up on that. That's what I struggle with. I struggle with things like we have this ASA that covers all this territory, and I understand the value of this to Ashland, but I wonder where the value is for Ashland about the rest of this coverage. I wonder where the cost of that goes. Right? I mean, does the services we provide outside the city of Ashland get covered to a break even, because that's what we're looking at here, Are we breaking even on the services we provide outside this community of Ashland? Or is that actually costing us money? I don't know that by the numbers that I've seen yet. Maybe I've missed it.
I don't think you've seen those numbers. And I think we could try to determine that. So, I mean, that's like in the spirit of, is there more that you need to help make this recommendation? Seeing those right. numbers, if we could arrive at them, you then could make a decision. Because here's what I would say. So you're going to look at the balance, right? And one is you're going to look at dollars for dollars out there. But then you're also going to look at, if we don't participate in the whole ASA, we don't have the ambulance service. So then you say, well, is there a value in us? If it's not a dollar for dollar, is that okay? Because then we continue to provide ambulance service to our citizens. Maybe that you want that, maybe you don't. And so I think at least we could talk about it. I'm not sure what we'll be able to come up with. But at least I think we can talk about and look at the data that we collect and how we collect it and how to extract data, and we could look at that. But we could certainly look at that. I think that's a legitimate question. You know, what are we get? And I think it's the same question that you guys were kind of talking about with the district. Okay, so what does this, so the citizens are paying, and are the citizens subsidizing? So let's try to figure out if that's the case. And if it is, then we look at, is it worth it or not?
It's going to be tough, I would assume, because we have the two different stations that each have a sort of, like, station one can't reach the other end of Ashland in 5 minutes type of thing, but station two can reach that side of Ashland in 5 minutes. So there's that 5 minute time frame that we have. And if we didn't service the ASA, how much more, I don't know, just idle time would these two ambulances have that they aren't going out and making money for us? Because they just have to sit there and wait for an emergency within like 5 minutes of Ashland.
If we don't have the ESA, we don't have an ambulance.
Right.
So it would be Mercy Flights figuring out through their algorithm how they position ambulances to achieve the time for a call. They would have to figure that out.
But it still comes down to a policy decision in terms of whether 5 minutes is acceptable or going to some calls is acceptable or not in terms of policy. So that it still goes back to that point. And it still goes back to the point that fire trucks are going to go out whether ambulances are needed or not, as I understand. Is that correct?
They do now.
Well, and on the other hand, I actually had a call where Fire District 5 showed up first before the ambulance did. They just happened to be in the area, and we called in, and the ambulance was out, and he came in and provided the help before the ambulance. So they do it also.
Mm-hmm.
And
we would do the same. If we were out in Talent, let's say, we would, well, we have the ambulance, but, I mean, and we are very lucky that we have the mutual aid that we do. And if you think about our area, from where Fire District 5 is to downtown Ashland, you know, there are some cities, that's the distance that people come from Fire District 5 to downtown Ashland. I mean, there are cities that have fire departments and stations that are spread out. We are lucky that we have our partner to be able to do that with. And I think that helps us provide that. It helps us provide a better service.
So it's almost more important that the message that council hears is that they need to review the criteria of risk tolerance rather than our committee making a proposal about we should, you know, we should do this and should do that. Because if they don't change the policy, then nothing changes.
Well, but I think I think you're right in one sense, but I think what this ad hoc committee can do is provide a report that speaks to that, right? Because the council has said to you, go forth and look at ways we can reduce costs.
Right.
And in parallel, they I think they meant this, and assess what that does.
But it's in essence, is that interpretation correct?
What?
Is my interpretation correct? That if that doesn't change, then what? The really important thing that needs to change is the review of the criteria of risk. The city evaluates what constitutes an ambulance and a fire truck to go for.
Well, the city doesn't have. So the city has a contract with the county for our ASA, our ambulance service area, and that contract dictates what we do with our ambulance. So the city council, with the ambulance service, we've said we will provide this modicum of service with these times, these response times, to meet the county requirements. The question, though, is, and I think you're talking about risk appropriately, it starts with, does the city council, what is the cost benefit of having or participating in the ASA and continuing to operate within the ambulance service area? If you do that, what does that change? Does that change your response time for your initial call out? If you don't want to do the ambulance, do you change the response to your initial call out? And I think this group, I don't know, to me, just in the things that I've learned in coming to these meetings about the ambulance and about the finances and those kinds of things, I could write a report like you could direct me to write a report that kind of outlines that and provides that information to the council. Because it's not going to be, I don't think you will have done your job if you simply say to the council, well, what you really want to do is assess risk. And that's what you need to do. Period. Because you've learned more to be able to provide that information to the council about the nuances of that, I think.
I still don't understand the cost-benefit analysis of the ASA, because isn't this it?
That was where I was going.
Because I throw that question out, and everyone just said, well, we wouldn't have the ambulance. Well, then this is it.
Is this it? If you say we don't have, we're not part of the ASA, which means we don't have an ambulance.
Right.
Is that what this financial report assumes? When you go down to this line without ambulance service, that assumes no ASA.
When we get to 2021, you have to go out to that far.
Yeah,
okay.
Got that.
Right.
That's exactly right. That's okay. What that says.
And your point.
So it's kind of immaterial.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense.
But let me ask you this.
Say more. I'm still trying to figure. I mean,
If we're trying to figure out if servicing the ASA makes sense, if we don't service the ASA, then we don't have ambulance. That's what people were saying, and that's what it seems like. So then this is what it would be like if we didn't service the ASA, right?
The middle line, the middle section.
Right, the without ambulance service. And it would be, you know, basically a wash.
It would save no money.
Right.
And that's what I just don't get. So if you don't have ASA, you don't have an ambulance, they're still going to go out to every single call in the area?
That is what Chief Shepherd is going to recommend to the city council.
In the whole
big area?
Just in
Ashland.
So that would be a huge difference, I would think, if you just go to the Ashland calls or if you're no longer going to the whole area calls.
I think...
But then you're not
right
getting
now,
revenue.
I think right now we have to split this. The fire engines don't go out to the whole area, or do they? Okay. Just the ambulances go out to the whole area. Somebody else sends a fire engine out there. So if we were to get rid of the ambulance service in Ashland, we wouldn't send, obviously, an ambulance. But in Ashland, we would be sending a fire truck. And so the case is being made for however many calls that we have right now, we would still be going to those calls with the fire engine. We just wouldn't be going to those calls with the ambulance. Is that about right?
It wouldn't happen.
We currently respond to 4,200 calls in both the city of Ashland and outside, in both fire engines and ambulances. If we did away with the ambulance service, we'd have to respond to 2,800 calls just in the city of Ashland. So, and that would be primarily, they would most likely, most of them would be a fire engine response. We wouldn't have the ambulances, but some of them would be, they'd be fire engines, maybe a brush rig, you know, a couple of our different types of.
But you're saying you wouldn't have to staff differently to do that, to go from 4,200 to 2,800.
Eliminate three fire positions.
I would go from 10 per shift to 9 per shift and run a 7-9 staffing. So I'd open up my staffing window, which then saves us some more in overtime. Because I'll allow two people off per day. So instead of right now, we're at 8-10. I'd drop three, you know, one per shift, go to a 7-9 staffing. So in my minimum, my minimum seven, you know, it's a little sticky here, so each station would have three firefighters on the vehicles plus the shift commander. But that would be a good starting point.
I wasn't laughing at that. I'm just it is a real mind. Something I really have to, I know I have to spend some time thinking about this from what we've talked about today. There's a lot of information, and we're getting to the end of our meeting. So I think
what you were saying is absolutely correct. Like the policy.
The policy influences.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
Well, the review of the policies. I mean, what do we have? We have 10-minute response times, or do we have 5-minute response times? Those are the kind
of
things.
Well, tier, what's the tier constitution?
Right, right,
tier A, B, C.
Right. All of that.
Also goes into the type of population change that we're having with more older people and different kinds of emergencies, which is another reality there.
And we're probably going to have the experts coming back to us, and they're probably going to have some thoughts on the risk assessment as well. What you think is important, and et cetera. So it's not going to be an easy conversation at council just to say this, to say, well, okay, we're going to loosen up the time allotment because that allows us to spend less money, and we're going to be willing to take on the risk.
And if somebody dies because you've gone from 5 minutes to 10 minutes, and you know that's an important,
I would say that
consideration
the,
in right. certain emergencies, then do you get sued?
I would say that probably these have been well thought out that we've used to date. While they may be more expensive than the alternative, the standard and the policy is probably well thought out. So changing those, I don't know.
But that hasn't been reviewed since 96,
no,
right?
The points,
were,
the points well taken.
209. So, okay.
Point
so,
well taken. I mean, I agree with that. I'm just trying to make my way through it.
So are we talking that when you call 911, they're going to do a question and answer to figure out whether they send someone or not? Because you don't answer the call. Someone in White City answers the call.
So
how does that work?
City of Medford is the only fire department in the valley right now that doesn't respond to every call. And they're allowing dispatch, the 911 center, to ask questions and to come up with a determinant. And if they say it's an alpha level response, City of Medford does not, they're not dispatched to the call. Matter of fact, I don't think they even know about the call. Yeah, like the call goes directly to Mercy Flights. So Medford, City
and
of Medford,
so they're dispatched. Okay.
They have no idea.
So isn't it A and B? that Medford doesn't respond?
It's A and some Bs, yeah, or some.
Right.
But there's a call that's made. I mean, and the dispatcher makes that call, and like Chief Fish said, sometimes that B call turns into something more, sometimes it doesn't.
So, we could all just take a deep breath and figure out what is it that we would like. What are we heading into February? Yeah, we are. The February meetings. We still haven't talked ComDev. Mm-hmm. Would you like to be the department that follows all of this? No, that's not fair. But we need to have ComDev come and visit us, mm-hmm, and turn our attention to that. That's the remaining department. And then you want to say?
Well, I just think that we haven't looked at a lot of things that we don't want to look at, maybe. like AFR, like FireWise, like the community grants, like the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. All those things are really added-value services. And maybe the city and the citizens want to pay for them. But in terms of identifying what are really essential services in each department, I mean, FireWise and AFR may be added-value services. It depends on how you look at it. And I think that that's the bigger question to me is... We want to have essential services covered. If we're asking for more money from our citizens, should we correctly identify what added value services really are?
I no fight with that discussion at all. It's one that really is a recommendation, though, to council to figure out. Rather than putting it, than having it here. But, I mean, we can certainly load it up as a discussion point here. See what I'm saying? I mean, in other words, the Housing Trust Fund, just to use one as an example.
Mm-hmm.
We could have that discussion in this group, or we could have this group say to the council, you need to review the Housing Trust Fund. I don't know which way you want to go with that. Because it is a value service, but it's going to be something that gets debated in a greater context, in a bigger context, which is a community sort of debating the use of housing trust fund. Because part of what your suggestion is that we would take the housing trust fund and fold it back into the general fund and use it for other things.
Well, I'm saying that we at least have to recognize what general fund money is,
right,
and what could be used for police and what could be used for other
and what we decide not to
services.
Use for police.
Right, and people at least need... I don't think that that's transparent. I think that when we talk about fire, for example, people would assume that everything in fire is an essential service. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but... Same thing with Affordable Housing Trust Fund. People don't always necessarily think that that could also be used, but they see it as not necessarily general fund money when in reality some of it is. Or the social service grants are general fund money.
Right. I get those points.
Yeah. Well, I just don't... If we're looking at what could be reduced... Certainly the council would need to make some policy decisions about it, but at least it would be transparent about what could be reduced. Aren't we trying to look at what could be reduced?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should present that. These are things that could be reduced.
And I think that's a really good point. So all we have to do is put it on a list of mm-hmm. an agenda, and that's what we're kind of doing here, is trying to figure out our agenda as we go forward. ComDev. And the list of things that you just put forward are discussion points in our next couple meetings.
At some point, we have to
touch everything that goes into the general fund and say, we took a look at this, and you either need to make a decision or we're recommending a decision for it.
Right?
I mean, that's eventually that's what we're going to sit here and do, is go down that list of general fund things. And I mean, are we going to get any help from, are we going to get a break from PERS? I don't know. Can we?
We have some data on that.
Okay, so I mean,
but it's, I mean, if we get a break from it, it'll be great, but it's temporary.
It's going to be temporary. Yeah. So, but I mean, it's, and there are other questions along this line. So somehow we need to finish the departments that we need to look at. Talk about the value services that you're talking about, and is there anything remaining that we haven't covered that we want to talk about? That's kind of the question. Very quickly here at the end, that we.
How about, I mentioned it last meeting, two meetings ago. Last meeting we didn't meet. Sorry. Why don't you come up with some incredible ideas for this committee, as if we needed to cut 5%, where would we find 5%? Just kind of ideas. You know where everything is, right? You know where all the leeway is. You have much better perspective and knowledge of that than the rest of us. So how about that kind of idea?
I mean, if you direct me to do that, I would.
I mean, it's just
that.
Something I've been thinking about. Right?
Right.
You know, if that's the ultimate goal, then let's cut to the chase. And, you know, where's the money?
It makes sense.
It's also in capital improvement when you look at things like building a platinum level water treatment plant versus the silver level. I mean, there's.
But now we're now we're switching
that's
funds.
That's different.
Yeah. Right. Well, we're speaking
of funds. We have enough problems.
I guess you know, partly I'm looking at just how much it costs.
However,
here.
We did buy a bunch of real estate recently. Yeah. And one of them, I think it was the B Street Yard, was supposed to go away in exchange for the property at the bottom.
The harvesting.
The other one was, originally we were, when we purchased Frisco School, we were going to split it off and sell the school or something. Right. Now we're putting maintenance money into the school.
We're trying to minimize that. So, no, but you're absolutely right. There is, and the council has been doing some asset management work for us to look at what we are going to do with those assets. And so that there is some revenue there. I will tell you, if you would like me, like I said, if you would like me to go try to find in the general fund cuts of 5%, what I will do is, if that's the direction that you provide to me, I will do that. But what you're going to get is you're going to get what I would cut and what service reductions there will be. And I would probably say this to you, too. I get it, but I would say, before I do that, to know how much I should, or I'm going to look at that, but the reality is there is revenue being spent that is general fund revenue that is not being spent on essential services. So what I would say is, counselors, you have prioritized prioritized essential services, and you're spending money on value services, and I would take that money, and we talked about that at the budget committee, and bring that in, and then look at what it looks like.
I like it.
That's Steph. I mean, I think that's Steph's point.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
we got
so maybe what we do before, Sean, and I'm not saying that what you want me to do isn't valuable or valid, but I think what I'd like to do is maybe we look at, you get all of the information that we have, which is ComDev, and then we take a look at all sort of that general fund money that is out there in what the council has determined to be value services, and look at that. We can look at PERS and what that's going to do, but it's, like I said, it's temporary. I think we can. I want to do a few things more with the ambulance, so I want to do that. And then we get to this place where, and then I would want to look at, if you want me to, I would want to look at those cuts, because I'm not adverse to doing that.
Just to, because it goes along with what I was saying earlier about whether or not we're. Whether, you know, the part about oversight and micromanagement, we're oversighting some of these things and looking at them. When you make that request of coming back with cuts that you would make, we're going to the management side of things, and we do need some of that. And I don't think anybody's going to say you need to keep the same service level if you don't have the same resources going to it. So that's why we really need management, administration, to bring forward the kind of things that Sean is talking about and staff are talking about, that we may not, you know, what would it be if you were to cut services? Right. What services would you cut? Because that's where the quote-unquote savings is going to happen in this scenario.
And I think the importance of this ad hoc committee is that we can't just do it on concepts. It's got to be a number attached to a
number. Yep.
Then that's a huge service to right. give the council people, because they need that help from finance people. And
there's an element of cattle trading somewhere in here.
Right.
We have to define where it is.
There's an element, too, of you create ordinances and you create different expectations, and then you need people like code enforcement or energy efficiency personnel, because those get tied into goals that the council has about what they feel is important to the environment, to human services, and other things, which property taxes generally don't pay for.
Exactly.
The old question, can Ashland afford Ashland?
Yeah.
Can Ashland afford Ashland, and can Ashland afford to pay for things that the federal government, the state government, and the county government should be paying for?
But you're right. We need to give the council the help of saying this non-essential is costing this much. This non-essential.
So they can
see it.
Yep, that's perfect.
It's hard in an election year when people.
Well, it's hard at any time.
Yeah, I know, but I have that frustration because I feel like there are a lot of important things we do, but at the cost sometimes of the fact that we have a population that's earning less money and retired people that have to deal with inflation, and that's another reality.
So I want to just move to a close. Do you have what we need to look at?
Yeah.
At least, I mean, maybe we'll go ahead and extend into July. I've enjoyed this. This is a good group. But
7 meetings on police.
Huh?
7 meetings on police.
Yeah.
I think I know kind of what the next meeting and what I would say is, I think we can look at ComDev, and I think we can start at least the dialogue on sort of the general fund value.
Start
services,
working towards
kind of,
making. Yeah. The kind of recommendations we're talking about.
You are quite amazing.
No.
Yes, you are.
You guys are doing really great work.
And thank you, fire department.
Yeah.
You guys were great today. You put up with us. You're still smiling at us.
Not throwing any darts.
Thank you, group. See you in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Dennis.
Is it a couple weeks? When is our next meeting?
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks? Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
You're welcome.